How do you find getting ready at the moment? It's quite a theme, isn't it? Whether at the start of the day, as you get ready for your day's work, you've got that decision. Do you get fully dressed or just the top half, especially if you're mainly on Zoom and on working from home on the laptop? Or maybe you're in a situation where you're able to just stay in your pajamas all day long. Have you done that? I can't say that I have, but members of my household definitely have. Pajama days, staying in your dressing gown. Getting ready in the last few months has felt quite different because we've been trapped in our houses. But as we ease out and as we begin to interact in society more, we see that other things are really happening now about getting ready. Society is beginning to open up, thankfully, as we see the kind of progression of the schools opening up, as we see things like workplaces thinking about opening up. And that's something that's going to last for a number of months, isn't it? This whole getting ready. I'm beginning to think about how we may get ready to reopen our Sunday gatherings. It's complex. It's going to have loads of questions. It's going to feel different, but we are getting ready. Schools are opening increasingly. What will universities look like come the autumn? How about shops in the next few weeks? Even tomorrow, more shops are going to be open. And to some of you, you might think, great, I'm excited, can't wait for that. And others, you might wonder, well, how's it going to work? I'm going to feel anxious about that. What is it going to look like? But lots of people are getting ready. And as we come to this passage today, the same theme is what we come across, getting ready. How ready are you? And as we think from back to last week, we heard a lot, didn't we, about not worrying and instead seeking first the kingdom of God. And today, it's less about worry, more about work and being watchful and waiting for something that is coming. How are we getting ready for Jesus's return? That is the theme of this passage. That's what we're going to think about as we read or as heard it being read to us. How are we getting ready for the time that we're in before Jesus's return? And Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to the crowds and is teaching through parables to help them get a grip on how they can be ready. And we might feel that this is quite relevant at this moment as we see injustice around us, as we see suffering and pain and hurt, and we're aware that life isn't meant to be like this, that God has a great plan for one day bringing about the freedom of suffering and injustice, instead a place of peace and righteousness and hope and joy. And that's what we've got our eyes fixed on if we're Christians. If we follow Jesus, that's where we want to be headed, and we've kind of got our eyes on and we're singing about in our songs, and maybe you're praying about in your times with God in prayer. But we put a lot of time, don't we, into getting ready for things. Maybe you take ages getting dressed in the morning. I don't really. It's quite a fast activity for me. But maybe you can think about your life and how you've taken time to get ready for something. Maybe a job and it's required a thorough application. Maybe years of studying to become a health professional. Maybe an area in leisure, you're preparing for a race in a kind of competition, and there's lots of training involved for that competition. We take time to make sure we're ready for whatever is coming up in our life. Think about the Olympians at the minute and the delay that is being kind of brought about because of the Olympics being put back. Years of training and preparation, 4 years, if not more, and there's that renewed emphasis they're going to have on their lives and how to be ready. Footballers, as they return to playing professionally again. Whatever sphere of life we think about, work, leisure, sports, your own kind of situation, getting ready is important, but it does take time. And we put effort in. But the question I want to ask us today is, how much time do we put into getting ready for Jesus's return? How ready are you for that? And the parable that we've just heard read, that Jesus speaks to his disciples and to those around him, is all about this. And essentially, Jesus is saying, good servants are ready servants. Good servants are ready. You want to be called a good and faithful servant? Then you better get ready. And that means today, that means now. So what are we doing? And I'm going to highlight two things from the passage and then draw out a final kind of point that's going to hopefully really encourage us to be the kind of Christians, followers of Jesus, disciples that are ready and that follow a good master, a good saviour. The first thing is this, we're ready. How can we get ready? By waiting watchfully. By waiting watchfully. And in verse 35 down to 40, we see this household image parable that Jesus communicates. He talks about being dressed and ready for service, keeping your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. So the theme is a household environment with servants that serve the master. The master is away at this wedding banquet, and he's going to return. He's going to return at some point soon, but they don't know exactly when. And so in the meantime, what do they need to do? Well, be dressed, get out your pajamas, get into your clothes, and don't put your pajamas on because it's the end of the night and you're getting tired, but keep in your work clothes and keep the lamps burning. And so we've got a theme here of doing activity, of waiting watchfully, of proactivity. Be ready for the return of the master, because you'll need to take his coat off and giving him a drink and make sure that his needs are met, and have the house ready with the lamps burning. Because then as soon as that knock on the door comes, the servants are ready to respond to the needs of the master, to care for his needs at the end of what's been a great feast. And it may well have been a kind of wedding environment that Jesus was painting the picture of, as we read there, don't we, about opening the door following the master's return from a wedding banquet. And if the master was the bridegroom, then there'd be a great kind of emphasis on making sure that there was a great return to the household with the bride, and that their needs were met fully by the servants who would wait upon them. And so this kind of time that the master would return was not set. It was not fixed. They had to be ready for whenever, even if it was later on in the watches of the night. Verse 38 says, "It will be good for those servants whose masters finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak." This is a long period of waiting. This is carrying on with this watchfulness all the way to the point that it might be just before dawn. It's a late night wedding. The party's amazing. It's going on and on. And those servants better be prepared. They better be ready. So what does this mean? Well, to wait, to be alert, to be watchful, not caught by surprise, to be actively waiting and not lazing around unaware of the time of day or the time of night that it might be. And so Jesus in this parable adds another layer to it. And he kind of says, look, understands this in verse 39. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. It's quite helpful. Jesus gives an explanation to the extra layer to the parable that he gives. And so from this servants waiting in this home, in this household for the return of the master, he says, because if a thief comes, you don't expect it. It's a surprise. You don't know when. Otherwise, you'd prepare and you'd make sure there'd be things in place to make sure you weren't broken into. And in the same way, we need to be ready, because we don't know exactly when the master returns. We don't know when the Son of Man, Jesus, is going to come back. Jesus died. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. And the Bible explains that one day he will return and make all things new and return in judgment for those that have done good and wrong. For the faithful and the unfaithful. We're going to find out more about that shortly. But a bit like a thief, it's going to come suddenly when you're not expecting it. So be ready. That is the message that Jesus gives. Why? Because the master is important, and because the master's return is to be expected. The master's important. We've seen the identity of the master here just now. The Son of Man, Jesus, the Son of God. He is the master in this parable. And as we understand his importance, we need to get ready in view of that. If it was someone that was not important, you wouldn't maybe need to get ready in the same way. But because of who Jesus is, because of his identity, getting ready is essential, because he comes with a purpose. But not just getting ready because of his importance, because it's going to happen. It's certain, it's fixed. We don't know when, but we know it will. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we read a bit about this, and in 1-8, it says this: "Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and date, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they'll not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Throughout the New Testament, we get this theme: be alert, get ready, watch, wait, be proactive. This isn't time for sitting back, waiting for Jesus to return. We've got a task to do. We need to be waiting watchfully. And that means getting out of your spiritual pajamas. It means getting dressed. I remember on a holiday once when I was a child, waiting for the other family to arrive that were going to share our holiday with us. And we were there first. We'd set up the holiday home, and it was bright and early. We'd had breakfast, and I quickly, with my brothers and sisters, went down the road to watch the family's car come round the corner. They were expected at some point in the morning. And we waited and waited, and they didn't come. They didn't show. We were counting cars, playing the kind of colour car game, playing all sorts of stuff to occupy us. But we were kind of just there. We knew they were going to come. We couldn't wait for them to arrive, and we did all we could to be ready. Well, in the end, we kind of went back up the hill to our holiday kind of cottage, and we kind of switched off from waiting because we got a bit boring, and we thought they were never going to come. What if it was going to be the next day? Suddenly the car pulls up and they appear, and we were caught off guard, and we weren't kind of ready to greet them in the way that we had planned. We knew they were coming, but we weren't quite ready. We'd kind of given up waiting. And what Jesus is saying here, what the New Testament is kind of saying from Paul and other writers, is don't give up waiting. Keep watching. Stay alert. Look out of the window. Get out of your pajamas. Get dressed and ready for action. So what does that look like? Well, in the passage from 1 Thessalonians, that looks like this. It looks like being alert and sober. Not being like the people of the nighttime getting drunk, but being ready in your mind, having faith and love and hope, and living those things out. So what I want to say is this: being ready looks like not putting off your relationship with God, but sorting it out, where you're at with him. In your prayer life, your reading, your kind of desire to deal with the sins in your heart that have just been hard to sort out, that maybe keep resurfacing. You think, I've got to get a handle on this. I've got to sort it out. So getting ready looks like looking in and going, where am I at in my walk with Jesus? How can I be better prepared for his return? And so therefore, it follows from what we heard last week: seeking first the kingdom, the treasure in heaven, not the possessions around us, not the kind of worries of this life, what we wear, what we eat, whatever the issues in life might be, but trusting in the promises of God. Getting out of your spiritual pajamas looks like looking at where you're at with your relationship with Jesus. And it means seeking him before the things around us. This is what Robert Murray McShane, a Scottish pastor, said to his congregation and to individuals as he pastored them to try and get them ready for Jesus' return. He said, "Do you believe that Jesus is coming today?" And if they replied in the negative, he would reply like this: "Then you had better be ready, for he is coming an hour when you think not." Jesus is coming. We don't know when, but he is. So let's act like his coming today. Let's get ready. And from verse 41 in this passage, we see Peter asking a question. He says, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" And at this point, Jesus kind of zooms in, as it were, towards his disciples. Before, it was the master and servant, so Jesus and all the believers that follow Jesus, disciples. But now he kind of addresses that question, goes, "This is now for you, disciples, those with spiritual responsibility, servant leaders." And we have another tier. So we not that it's a hierarchy, but we have servants, all the Christians, all the followers, disciples of Jesus. But also a kind of those that are given particular responsibility. And he says, "Who then," the Lord answered, "who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance?" So this household image extends beyond just a master returning from a feast to the kind of more prolonged duty of those that the master puts in charge of the household to care for the needs of all the household, all the servants, those that live together, the family of God. And those wise and faithful masters are dealt with. And so what's important is that we see in verse 42 and 44, Jesus demonstrating good care, good management, good leadership of those who are responsible for others. And it looks like this, doesn't it? It looks like being wise, being a good steward. It looks like fairly distributing food. It looks active. And that's because the second thing that we need to highlight about being ready is not just waiting watchfully, but working faithfully. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, you've got a responsibility now to be faithful and to work, to get on with the task at hand, not just watching from the window ledge for the return of somebody to arrive into your household, but getting on with the task at hand. Being ready means working faithfully with what God has entrusted you with. And for the disciples, that was the early church leadership. And that was going to become quite a task for them. Get on with the task at hand. And for the rest of us, that might look quite different. But what we follow, or what we see, is that the one that is faithful, that is caring and a good manager, a good leader, servant leader, he says, "Truly I tell you," verse 44, "he will put him in charge of all his possessions." There's a kind of greater reward that will follow for those that are faithful. But, verse 45, "Suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers." Wow. Here are Jesus' words that are striking hard. Society would not accept this. We might kind of reel at hearing those words in our Bible. What's Jesus going on about here? Why is he talking about the master cutting up people and assigning them to where unbelievers live or are to be for eternity? And we get uncomfortable. But what you see here is Jesus painting a parable, a picture of good leadership and bad leadership. And he's saying to his disciples, be faithful, don't be unfaithful. Be wise, don't be unwise. Be not like the fool in the parable of the rich fool that was a few passages earlier on in chapter 11. But be wise, be the one that looks to God and seeks to see his approval, not self-reliance and indulgence. Because what does it look like? It looks like self-interest, eating, drinking, getting drunk. The master's not returned, so I can do what I want with my time. I can kick back and relax. And in fact, I can take out, I can treat my servants poorly. I can beat them. I can abuse the privilege that I've been given. So do not be an unfaithful, unwise leader. The abuse of responsibility, it's sadly something we see in society today, and Jesus does not accept it. And this is what he says: Jesus will judge the faithful and the unfaithful, and he will according to what has been entrusted. And so the challenge for us is to make sure that we faithfully exercise our responsibilities. Because otherwise, verse 47 is clear. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready, does not do what the master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know, does these things, deserving punishment, will be beaten with few blows. There's a kind of a consequence to our inaction, our poor, faithless service. God will treat each according to how they have behaved and lived. This is a parable. Jesus is painting the picture with extremes, black and white, with kind of right and wrong. He's using extreme language to kind of grab people's attention and say, get ready. If you don't, you're going to lose your reward. You're going to be in danger of being somewhere you don't want to be, away from my presence. Because if you're not living the way you should as a disciple, then are you a disciple? Are you ready? If you're not ready, how do you know you're a follower? How do you know you're mine? This isn't about losing salvation. This is about a wake-up call for the disciple saying, get ready, show you're ready through the way you live, and then you can rest assured that you'll be blessed. Jesus will judge the faithful and the unfaithful accordingly and appropriately. We have to trust that if he is the Son of God, the Son of Man, who is just and fair. But he will punish that which is wrong, those that have abused their position. And in a way, we rest in the fact that he is a God of justice. We have to. We can't claim to hold that ourselves. We fail in that. We come to him and repent of the way that we don't exercise justice as we should. But Jesus will judge the faithful and the unfaithful. And as we kind of come to the last verse, we see that again expressed, verse 48, the one who does not know does deserve, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted much, much will be asked. So the good news is that for those that have been entrusted with much, then in a way, God looks forward to trusting us with much so that we can succeed through his grace. He says, go and be faithful. I trust you to be faithful with this. Go and live out the kingdom fairly, faithfully, by being ready, by being my stewards. And you will be honored for that. So what does it look like to live as people that have been entrusted with things by God? So if you're furloughed, if you're retired, if you're unemployed, at the moment, make the most of the time you have. Don't abuse the time that you have by wasting it. God says work faithfully by using your time well. And if you are working, if you're under a boss or in a structure of someone else below, work faithfully for whoever you are working for. Use your work as a place to express the integrity of heart that you have as a Christian. That is God's challenge for us. So how will you look back on lockdown and on this last few months? Will you look back and go, well, basically I kind of enjoyed leisure time. I didn't do much. I kind of kicked back and just chilled out. Or will you go, actually, no, I use my time well. Yes, with family time and enjoying a kind of slower pace of life, but also to grow in my walk with Jesus, to sort out my relationship with Jesus, to put time into that and grow in that as well. That is the challenge for us. How will we look back on this period? Have we got more ready? Have we taken off our spiritual pajamas and got our spiritual clothes on and waited for Jesus' return with a watchfulness and worked with faithfulness? But as I end, I want to end with a reference to verse 37 that you might have noticed I skipped over. And in verse 37, it says, "Truly I tell you, when the master returns, he will dress himself to serve. He will make them recline at the table and will come and wait on them." What is just amazing about this parable is that whilst the servants are ready waiting for the master's return, when the master does return, he changes his clothes. He takes off the clothes of the party and he puts on his work clothes. And he says to his servants, "Sit down, I'm going to serve you." The master becomes the servant. Jesus is the servant king. The master who serves you and me, and he's done that by dying on a cross. He's done that by picking up a towel and washing the disciples' feet. He's done that by saying, "I've come to serve you, not to be served, and to give my life as a ransom for many." Jesus has come to serve us. So it's not about working harder, about being better, at being perfect servant leaders, because Jesus has served us first, that we can serve one another. And so what does this parable point towards? It points to the cross. It points to the master, the Son of Man, who would serve his people by dying for them. And so we put faith in him while we wait watchfully and work faithfully. And we don't have to outserve him. We don't have to outwork him. We serve him. We work for him out of a love, because he has served us first. He has loved us first. And we respond by going, "One day, Jesus, you're coming back and I want to be ready." And so I get dressed every day. I look at my relationship with Jesus and want to grow in my walk with Jesus. And I serve others in the way that brings him honor and glory, and spreads the good news that Jesus came to serve us, that we could serve him and enjoy life with him forever. Are you ready for Jesus' return? What's stopping you getting ready? I'm going to pray. Father God, I pray that we would be good servants that are ready servants. And I thank you that that is only possible because Jesus came and he served us first. And so because he has served us by his death on the cross, by offering us forgiveness as we look to him in faith and repentance, I pray that we would be a church that is ready for his return, waiting watchfully, working faithfully. Help us to do that by your power and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.